Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm excited because we are beginning a brand new series on the cosmic controversy, the great battle between good and evil, where it started and how it is impacting our lives today. I'm glad you joined us. We've got a special gift for you. Stay with us. We'll share with you that will help you in your study. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School and welcome to the team. This is going to be a powerful series, and I've been praying for supernatural cover. Amen. Because as we study about the cosmic conflict, it's actually raging all around us, isn't it? So we're glad you're here. We've got some remote team members with us. Rodney, always good to see you. Glad you're here. Travis, good to see you. Glad you're part of our team. And Leah, good to see you. I'm so thankful for each one of you, and I'm thankful for you too. Wherever you are around the world, when you hear a question from the teacher and you raise your hand, you're part of this in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I just want to share a few emails that we've received recently, and we'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. Isn't it an encouragement to you to hear what God's doing around the world? So we'd love to hear from you, and this is from Manuel in Zimbabwe. Manuel writes and says, I always enjoy the in-depth study of the Bible done on Hope Sabbath School. I get to learn new things from the Bible and from the participants. Please continue doing the good work. We will continue praying for you and supporting you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's awesome, Manuel. Thanks for writing to us. A love from Zimbabwe, he writes. Here's a note on our YouTube channel. We're well over 100,000 subscribers on our Hope Sabbath School YouTube channel. This is an unnamed viewer who just left a comment. And the viewer writes, or participant, I should say, hello, Hope Sabbath School.
Hello.
Well, you got the wave. Hope Sabbath School is amazing.
Amen.
The way you discuss God's Word is helpful and life-changing. And we say,
amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise Jesus.
Now listen to this. As a university student, I have a tight schedule, but I always use 1 hour of my time to watch the amazing Word of God on Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome.
We have Hope Sabbath School members who are little and older. Here's a university student. God bless you as you continue to share God's unfailing love.
Amen.
Wow,
amen.
So powerful. Here's a note from a donor here in the U.S., and the donor writes and says, hello, Hope Sabbath School.
Hello.
I think they know when they start with that, they'll get a wave, right? I'm 88 years old. I'm not sure how much longer I will be able to attend my own Sabbath School class at my church. But I'm thankful for Hope Sabbath School. It's there for me anytime I want to watch and is available to almost the whole world.
Amen.
And a donation of $3,000.
Wow.
To bless the global evangelistic ministry. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
Well, you know who you are. Thank you so much for your generous support. We're part of a great miracle of God as a donor-supported ministry. And whether a person sends in $5 or $5,000, we're all part of the miracle, right?
Amen.
And so I just want to say thank you. You can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. Click on the donate button, or like this donor, you can find the address and write a note to us. Thank you so much. One last note from Brazil. Brazil, we have a lot of people behind camera from Brazil and some on our team. And Lucia writes, and she says, I love the teaching of the Bible on Hope Sabbath School. Mm-hmm. I really admire having people representing different countries. Sabina represents us from Brazil. Sabina, give a wave. We got to get you on camera there, giving a wave to Lucia. I also enjoy reading marvelous comments on the YouTube channel. If you watch on YouTube, you know people can leave comments, and there's a lot of them that people leave as they're interacting. We are all part of Hope Sabbath School. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that is so true, and we're so thankful that you are part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Well, before we sing our theme song, taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 6 and 7, I just want to tell you about a special gift we have for you in this series. It's a book entitled The Great Controversy. It deals with this cosmic conflict between good and evil, where it started, and how it's impacted planet Earth. Now, here's what's exciting. If you go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, and click on the free resource tab, that book is available in more than 100 languages. So even if you have a copy, you might say, well, I have a friend who speaks Hindi, or I have a friend who speaks Swahili, or I have a friend who speaks Tamil, and I'd like to get a copy, a digital copy for her, for him. So go to our website. That resource is available for you absolutely free as a gift from Hope Sabbath School. The Great Controversy, a book that has changed tens of thousands of lives. We hope you'll avail yourself of it. Right now, we need to have you sing with us. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let's sing together.
Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous end his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him. And to our God,
that beautiful promise the prophet Isaiah called the gospel prophet. He says, seek the Lord while He may be found. That suggests that there will be a time when it's too late. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. In this cosmic conflict, I think that's a powerful appeal for us, isn't it? Let's pray now as we study. I invite you to join with us as we pray that the Holy Spirit would guide. Our Father in heaven, we recognize even in this discussion that there's a cosmic conflict going on. People wanting to hear truth and the kingdom of darkness trying to interrupt what You want to accomplish in our lives and through us. And I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that Your Spirit and Your holy angels would be very present wherever we are studying Your word today, that we may hear a life-changing word from You. And I pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Well, we're going to start our study discovering where this cosmic conflict began. The title of our study, The War Behind All Wars. And I'm going to ask Sabine if you'd begin our study in Revelation 12 and verse 7 with just the first phrase. There's so much in this portion, by the way. Where would we be without the Word of God? We wouldn't understand what's going on, would we? But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Holy Spirit guided the prophets to write down truth for us to guide us. No wonder the Bible is called a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And this passage, Sabina is going to just start with the first phrase. It opens the door to understand what's happening, not only in our world, but in the cosmos.
Okay, so I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Pastor Derek, and it's Revelation 12, verse 7, just the first part. It says, and war broke out in heaven.
Pause. What doesn't sound right about that? Yes, Harold.
Well, how can in a perfect place you can have war?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like those two things don't seem to fit together.
No war in heaven.
War broke out in heaven. Mm. So how is it even possible, Puya? Mm. If it's a perfect environment, how is it even possible that war could break out?
Well, it starts with the character of God, who is love. And love requires the freedom of choice. So God's way of governing the universe, including heaven, in this part of the story, is that God gave all his creatures the freedom to choose, including to even choose to be away from him.
But let me ask you a question. Maybe you've asked it too. Maybe one of our remotes could help me with an answer. If it is a perfect environment, I agree, we have freedom of choice. Why would anybody want to choose anything other than that perfect environment that God has created? Why would anyone even want that? Travis, I see you shaking your head. Talk to us. Maybe that's why doesn't the Bible call it a mystery, Travis?
Actually, that's exactly what I was going to say, Derek. 2 Thessalonians 2 through 7 talks about the mystery of iniquity. I don't think it's something that we can even fathom, begin to understand, maybe outside of our understanding, because how could someone in a perfect place, in a perfect world, in a perfect God just choose selfishness? And we may never know the answer to that, but the fact is, I don't think God ever wanted anyone to know what evil or death ever was. And unfortunately, as Puya mentioned, because of the freedom of choice, we always have the right to choose evil, unfortunately, or selfishness. And I don't know why it started, but we have the story that it did start, and that's where we are today.
And let's look a little more. Scott, maybe you could take us back to Revelation 12, verse 7, because it actually identifies a person who leads out in a rebellion against God. Maybe you could read the whole verse for us, Scott.
Okay, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back.
So before we zoom in, you say, I want to get to verse 9 of Revelation 12. Let's look at a few places that talk about this dragon in Revelation and learn a little, at least, about what the dragon is like. Mm-hmm. Nicole, could you take us to Revelation 12 and verse 17?
Sure. The New International Version says, then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus.
All right. Anybody, what do you learn about the dragon from that passage, Sabina?
We learned that not only this dragon, you know, rages war against other angels and heavenly beings, but this dragon also has a rage against people who, you know, keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ in their heart.
Okay. Leah, could you read another reference about the dragon in chapter 13, Revelation 13 and verse 4? We're learning about the instigator of the rebellion called the dragon. Leah?
Mm-hmm. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Revelation 13, verse 4 says, and they worshipped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who can fight against it?
So this dragon not only wants rebellion, Brittany?
I was just going to say that he uses others to accomplish his purposes. Here he's using a beast.
A beast, power.
When we study, is another kingdom.
Okay.
And then when we go to Genesis, we see he uses a snake. So he uses different people or things or kingdoms to accomplish his purposes. He doesn't always show us who he is.
Who he is. Yeah. Jeffrey?
Yeah, through that deception, it's also a claiming of authority.
Did anybody notice the word worship, Puya?
Yeah, I was going to say that, yes. Yeah.
worship should belong only to God the Creator, but it appears that this dragon is desiring to receive that worship as well.
Right.
So he's angry, he's fighting, and he's wanting worship. Rodney, could you read from Revelation 16 for us, verses 13 and 14? We're going to come back to Revelation 12 because it opens up our eyes as to who this dragon is, but we're learning about the character of the dragon. 16 verses 13 and 14, Rodney.
And I'm reading from the New King James Version. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty.
You say, I want to study that passage too, but we're just getting a snapshot. What do we learn? You mentioned, Brittany, that the dragon uses other entities as well. Right. What do you learn from this text? Yes, Nicole.
That this dragon is also able to perform signs and do things.
Okay, some powers that we don't have, Sabina?
Exactly. I was going to say that not only he himself seems to have a lot of power, but he's able to empower others that are in the same conflict with him to cause destruction.
We are going to discover that he's not the only one in the rebellion. Ooh. Here it speaks about the spirit of demons, right. Scott?
Yeah. And all this shows us why we call it a cosmic conflict, because this isn't just a single enemy of God fighting against it. No, this is universe war one, right? This is the big deal. This is the big leagues. Mm. Mm.
Let's look at one last text. And Travis, if you could take us, I notice you may have a comment first, but to Revelation 20, verses 1 and 2. Feel free to make your comment, and then if you could read Revelation 21 and 2. We're learning, I guess, the truth about the dragon is being exposed by Revelation.
So, Derek, I would just like to say we really get a glimpse into Satan's attack, really in Revelation 12:17, because he's waging war, or an argument, because the word is politics, against the people who keep the commandments of God and who have the testimony of Jesus. So God's law and a testimony of God's faithfulness, his character. So I think through the rest of our study here, if we could keep that in mind, the attack is on God's law and on God's character. That's literally the basis of this whole battle.
Sure. That same word, you're absolutely right, can be a conflict of ideas, but it's also used in the New Testament for actual battle. Mm-hmm. So there's an argument of words in the cosmic conflict, but it may have actually escalated into an actual battle. Yeah. We're going to discover where they're thrown out of heaven, right? Right. That's not just words, right? They're thrown out. Well, let's go back and see what we can learn more about this dragon. Revelation 12, could you read that for us, Gladys? Revelation 12 and verse 9.
Sure, I'll be reading from the New International Version. And it says, the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him.
So now we've got some other information about this dragon. He's called
Serpent
of Old, and Brittany, you referred to that. We'll come to Genesis, where he now uses disguise to tempt our first parents, because the cosmic conflict is going to come to planet Earth too, right? Mm-hmm. What else is he called?
Satan.
He's called Satan, which means the opposer, and he's also called the devil. Right?
Yes. Right.
So Diabolos, the adversary.
Accuser also.
Yeah, the accuser. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's got all of these names, and he's warring against the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. So I have a question for you. Rodney, I see your hand raised. Maybe you can share that comment. And also the question is, when was this rebellious angel cast out of heaven? Rodney?
The comment that I wanted to make, Derek, is in today's world, we find that there is the notion out there that the book of Revelation is closed. Mm. And so far, we have read literally maybe five or six texts in the book of Revelation about our adversary, who is Satan, the devil, and that old serpent. So, you know, we want to ensure that our viewers understand that the book of Revelation is not closed. It gives us intimate details on who this devil is, and it reveals to us who he is. But you also asked a question around, you know, when did this great controversy take place? And I would love to hear the thoughts of the other team members. It seems like the earth was in place already by the time that rebellion took place, because the Bible says that he was cast to the earth. And so we know that God created the earth. So that it seems like that took place somewhere after the creation of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else? It's a mystery. There may even be a progression of being cast out, mm-hmm. because Jesus talks about seeing him fall like lightning. Mm-hmm. But he's not just staying up in heaven. Leah, what do you think?
I've often wondered about this, about the timeline of the war in heaven and how it correlates with our existence here on earth. And I agree with Rodney that it most likely happened sometime after the creation of man, simply because, as we've seen so far, Satan desires worship that only God can receive. So he wants to be like God. And when we were created in Genesis, it says that God wanted to create us in our image. Mm-hmm. So I can only imagine that the feelings that Satan was already having before he had fallen in heaven were further perpetuated by the fact that God created something that was in his image, which is exactly what Satan wanted. So jealousy was sparked, and mm-hmm. that's so certainly seems like a probable reason he would attack us.
Okay. I'm wondering how long that rebellion simmered before he's actually cast out.
Right.
Leah is saying, well, maybe it really came to a head with the creation of the human family. Mm-hmm. But how long did God bear patiently?
Mm. Right.
With this, we're going to read more about this angel in just a minute. Mm. Yes, Scott.
You know, in Genesis, when it describes the fall, we know that Satan was on the earth at that point, in the Garden of Eden. We know that in the book of Job, Satan was still able to go back to heaven and meet. So what you're saying about this time process, there may be something to it, but clearly if this war happened after the creation, it must have been fairly shortly after the creation, because he was already there in time for God to tell Adam and Eve, don't go to this one tree.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I think it went on much longer than we may think. God is long-suffering and patient. Yes. Travis?
One of the things I think is important to realize here is sometimes we put this casting of Satan like on God. Like God made the choice for Satan and his angels to be gone. And multiple places in the Bible, even Jesus himself says, I watched Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I think the book of Isaiah says, how have you fallen from heaven, son of the morning? And I think it's really important to remember, this wasn't God's choice for him to leave. This was the consequences of his own choice. So it's not God saying, you don't belong here. It's actually Satan saying, or Lucifer saying, I don't want to be here.
We're going to go to two other passages of Revelation, not in the book of Revelation, but in the prophets, which tell us a little more. And we will discover from Revelation that he took a third of the stars of heaven with him. So mm-hmm. this was a major disruption, mm-hmm. the cosmic conflict. Jeffrey, could you read for us Do you have Isaiah there or Ezekiel?
I have Ezekiel.
Why don't we start in Ezekiel 28?
Yes.
And could you read for us verses 12 to 15? Again, yes. I just want to encourage you as a Hope Sabbath School family to thank God for His Word, because it's a light to our feet, isn't it?
Right.
And a lamp to our path. Mm-hmm. It shows us what's happening in this cosmic conflict. What do you read there from the prophet Ezekiel?
Yes, so I'm reading Ezekiel 28, verses 12 through 15, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you are the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you.
Mm. There is so much in that passage, isn't there?
Right.
What jumps out at you in this description? By the way, it seems the king of Tyre also maybe is an agent that Satan is using to accomplish evil. Because this is obviously not the king of Tyre who was in Eden, right, and was a covering cherub. but somehow he's participating in that rebellious spirit. Mm-hmm. What do you learn about this angel who was created an anointing cherub? Gladys.
He was not a simple or common angel. He was high and exalted. The way that he's described, it signifies that he was important. Mm-hmm. He may have a rank that he was admired maybe by others because he was beautiful. So I think that he was very exalted as he was, as an angel.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Rodney and then Brittany. Rodney?
Yeah. May I read a text, Derek, that is from 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3.
2 Peter.
Verse 9. Yes.
Chapter 3 and verse 9.
And while we're finding it, I want us to look at how God is dealing with this situation while it is, you know, it's in process with Satan. It says from the New King James Version, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Mm. And the reason why I'm highlighting this text is throughout what is going on so far, as we are reading about Satan's behavior now in heaven, I am positive from the word of God that God was trying to work with Satan throughout this process to redeem him, telling him that he's on the wrong track. So you asked the question earlier about how long. Let's be specific. The Bible doesn't tell us how long, but I'm sure just from reading these texts that God must have been working with Satan, not willing that he go on the wrong path, but to come back in the fold of safety.
Mm. Let's go to Isaiah after your comment, Brittany.
Sure. What we read in Ezekiel, I saw that Lucifer was a anointed cherub who covers. And in the sanctuary, we learned that the covering cherub were on either side of God's throne.
Mm-hmm.
And that was representing what happens in heaven. So he was the closest to God's throne. He was right in his presence. Mm-hmm. And it also said that he was perfect. So we see that when God made him, he didn't make any mistakes. He didn't put anything
in
him. God didn't put anything in him that would cause him to rebel. Mm-hmm. Satan chose that himself. And we see that God gave him every opportunity to see his true character because he was in his presence.
Wow. Right.
Harold, could you read from Isaiah the prophet for us, chapter 14, verses 12 to 14? This cosmic conflict, it starts in heaven, and it starts with a covering cherub, an angel. Sounds like he was a musician, a leader of the angelic choirs, perhaps. You know, he's up there, a leader.
Mm-hmm.
What did we learn in Isaiah's revelation?
Yes, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. And it reads, "How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High."
Mm-hmm. Did you notice something kind of repeated over and over there?
I will.
Yeah. And interesting, when Daystar, also Lucifer, can be translated, when he says, "I will be like the Most High," in what way did he want to be like the Most High?
Power.
Yeah, it wasn't anything to do with character, love,
no.
Unselfish, giving spirit. It was, I want the throne.
Right?
Yes, Sabina?
And I would say further, it seems to me like what he really wanted was worship. Because it doesn't seem like what he wanted was sheer power. But in the presence of God and knowing the character of God, he probably noted that what really attracts one to worship is the character. And he had to mirror God's character in some way so that he could experience being loved the way he wanted. So I see that here.
So I've got a big question. We've got to move on. Keep your thoughts. We'll have some time to share a little later. We don't know how long, Rodney says, this may have stirred in Lucifer. We're not going to call him Satan right away, right? He's Lucifer, the covering cherub, but something's happening. God's working with him. It breaks out into a rebellion. Revelation tells us that he takes a third of the angels with him, and we'll discover what strategy he uses. But why doesn't God shut down the rebellion? Maybe even before he starts deceiving the other angels. Huya?
Earlier, Travis mentioned that the core issue of this conflict is the character of God. Satan, Lucifer at this point, is basically challenging God's love. And from what we just read, he wants to be, he wants to establish his own realm in a way. And so from that context, we have to think about how God can solve this problem. God has to try to solve this problem in a way that this rebellion or sin will never rise again in the future. And for that to happen, God has to allow time to pass so that the whole universe can actually see, all right, whose way is better? God's way or Lucifer's way? Because Lucifer is claiming that he could be like the Most High. And probably he was telling the angels that if you follow me, I'll give you a better way of governments. Right? So God has to deal this in a way that sin will never rise again by allowing time.
We need to look at a text that shows us his strategy. And Jesus tells us in John 8 and verse 44. John 8 verse 44. Leah, do you have that? You can read it for us. I'm so thankful that Jesus came into this cosmic conflict to bring hope to us. But how does Jesus describe the strategy of the enemy, Leah?
John 8, verse 44, in the English Standard Version, it reads, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies."
Wow. Wow. You know, Jesus, he showed compassion to those who were cast down, right? But here he's speaking very direct truth. And what do you learn about the strategy of this rebellious angel from these words of Jesus? Gladys?
I think that he just likes to bring confusion. So I think that the strategy that he used with the angels is put doubt. He probably not said a completely outrageous lie about God, you know, but he just started putting doubt.
Okay.
Do you think that he is just? Do you think that he really is going to be forgiving? You know, and maybe later on he tried, maybe threatened them. Oh, you already believe me, so.
There are two things in the verse, aren't there?
Yeah.
One is lying
and murder.
And the other is violence.
Yes.
Yeah, at one point, did he threaten from his position of power?
Of course.
And when did he lie? Mm-hmm. But I want to go to a text, Brittany, in Revelation 12. I alluded to it earlier, Revelation 12, verse 4, because it was this combination mm-hmm. of threatening and deception that what happened in this cosmic conflict.
Sure. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 4. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born.
Now, we've heard about demons, and demons are clearly spoken of even during the ministry of Jesus. These are fallen angels. Mm-hmm. In one place, it says, our name is Legion, for we are many. So it's a confederation of evil angels. He uses deception, but what else does he use? What did you pick up there? By the way, we got an approximate number, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A third.
A third.
Right.
So how many angels were there total before the rebellion?
Who knows?
Nobody knows.
10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So however many it was, impacted a third of them. Mm-hmm. But did you notice something in that description in Revelation 12 about how he impacted those other angels?
He swept.
He cast them to the earth.
He swept.
It says he swept them cast them.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. I think, Rodney, you mentioned about God's strategy there. He swept them. So that almost sounds what?
Like a snake.
No, force.
It sounds like
force.
Violence,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It sounds like force that he lies and they come and then he lies and says, well, you can't go back now because God will not forgive you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you feel the force there, Nicole?
I do. And it's interesting because we've talked about the contrast between the two people, God and the devil and Satan.
Right.
And we see here that the Satan can only use force to get what he wants. God is about love and about choice and about coming to him because we love him. And so you can totally see the difference between how the two operate in this entire conflict.
Harold?
Well, and little down in the same verse, it says that the dragon was ready to devour the child that the woman was to be give birth to, which we know throughout the Bible, and given the Revelation is a symbolic book, women should represent like the church, and we see that in the Old Testament. And the child was obviously Jesus, the Messiah, that the church was going to bring into the world. And Satan was just ready to devour, which is very forceful language and violent language right
it
there.
It is. Mm-hmm. So you've got violence and lies as strategy. I see Travis's hand, but Sabina, I'll come to you first.
Yeah. You know when someone doesn't want to do something, and then if you really want to force them into doing something, the first time they say yes, you don't give them time to think twice. So for me, what the devil was doing with them is something similar, as if he had started with the lies to try to deceive them about the character of God. And before the other angels could even thought about something, he swipes them with force because he wouldn't give them time enough really to consider further, right? Like for me, as opposed to God, who gives us the time we need to consider even his character, the devil knew that if he was going to give them time, it seems like they wouldn't really going to respond to him any longer, right?
Doesn't the Apostle Paul tell us that we will judge angels? I wonder if we'll actually, during that millennium, and that's a whole nother topic, the thousand years spoken of in Revelation chapter 20, we'll actually be astounded at how patient and long-suffering God was with Lucifer and the angels who were vacillating. Yeah, and finally we'll say, just and true are your ways, O King of the Saints. Mm-hmm. Nicole?
I was just going to say, you know, we're talking about God's patience, but look at what he's doing with us now. He's patient with us today, waiting for us to, you know, choose him. And so if he's giving us this time, I can't imagine how much time he gave the perfect being that he created in terms of trying to convince him, listen, this is really not really what the route you want to take. Mm-hmm.
Rodney, I see your hand raised.
There is also good news in this text because it says that his tail drew a third, which means that there are two thirds. Back to Nicole's point, as we transition, as we go through this life, this journey that we're on, it is important for us to remember that there are two thirds left of God's angels helping us on this journey to go to the promised land. Amen.
So one thing I would like to learn, and Travis, I'll come to your point right now. Mm-hmm. I would like to know, and it doesn't matter for salvation, I know, but it will cause me to be even more amazed at the character of God. Mm-hmm. If there were some angels who were perilously close to joining the rebellion, but the mercy and the patience and the long-suffering character of God drew them back into the two-thirds. And they will be eternally grateful for that. Travis, you had your hand raised.
So, Derek, as I was studying this lesson, this thought came to me because I was considering Satan's strategy. And I thought back to the first lie. And he said something to Eve that just caught my attention. He's like, actually, God is withholding information because he doesn't want you to know good from evil. And I thought about that for a second. I thought, actually, that was truth mixed with error, because I believe God never wanted anyone to know about evil. And because if they had to learn about evil, then death would be involved and suffering would be involved. But Satan presented it as God is withholding this information from you because he's a controlling God. And then by his grace, when then they do experience evil, he says, I'm going to demonstrate to you the fullness of evil and the fullness of love. And he does it on the cross by saying to the world and to the unfallen angels and everyone, I love you more than I love myself.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to go back to Revelation 12. Rodney, maybe you could read it for us in Revelation 12. Verses 9, 10, and 12, because this cosmic conflict, and I think we've concluded, we don't know how long it was going on, first as a battle of words, and then maybe even a physical conflict where angels are literally thrown out, though I hear Travis saying maybe they fell out. It's more than just words at that point, isn't it? It's like our parents being taken out of the garden, right? Mm-hmm. It's a consequence. Mm-hmm. But let's look and see how that cosmic conflict, Rodney, shifts the planet Earth.
So I'm reading from the New King James Version, Revelation 12, verses 9, 10, and 12. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Mm-hmm. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Verse 12. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time.
So, hold it right there, Rodney, because I'm going to ask you, the Spirit of God impressed me to say, have Rodney read verse 11. I know it's kind of jumping forward, but if someone's watching right now and they're going, oh no, this cosmic conflict shifted to planet Earth, and this angel with superhuman powers is full of anger and he's got angels that have joined him in the rebellion, and maybe they're just going to faint and they won't hear the rest of the program, Rodney. So I want you to read verse 11. We're going to come back to the hope in just a minute, but read verse 11. It's embedded in there because it's something I think we desperately need in this cosmic conflict.
And I'm reading from the New King James Version with a smile. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death.
Amen. Is it possible to overcome the enemy in the cosmic conflict?
Yes.
Now, we'll learn how, by the blood of the Lamb. And Travis talked about what Jesus came to do. Mm-hmm. But I want to go back, and Nicole, to Genesis, if you'd read for us in Genesis 3, because it does shift. And that, what was one of the titles that was given to Lucifer after the rebellion? Not only the devil and Satan, but the serpent of old, right? Mm-hmm. And people go, what's that? Serpent of old. But it's pointing back to Genesis chapter 3. And if you could read, Nicole, for us the first six verses. Maybe someone joining us for Hope Sabbath School today has never heard. Mm-hmm. How did it get here? And the answer is someone opened the door. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's see what we read.
The New International Version of Genesis 3, 1 through 6 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, mm-hmm. 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it."
Mm-hmm. We could spend a lot of time in Genesis 3, and if you've never heard the story, go back and read there in the book of Beginnings, chapter 3, because it talks about how chaos came very quickly, mm-hmm. blaming each other. And by chapter 4, one son is killing the other mm-hmm. son. And by chapter 6, the world is filled with evil and violence. Mm-hmm. How quickly that unravels. But I want to focus on choice. Mm-hmm. And Lee, I'm going to ask you if you begin our discussion here. When did you first realize how important your personal choice was? You say, "Derek, I'm not a covering cherub. I'm just a human being, young adult." But when did you realize, wow, the choice I make in this cosmic conflict mm-hmm. has eternal consequences?
Mm-hmm. I think I realized when I realize that I have the power to affect other people, we can choose to affect people for good, for the purpose of building the kingdom. Or if we are not fixing our eyes on God, we can choose to affect people negatively, which ultimately would push them from God and from the eternal kingdom. So I think when I began getting involved in ministry as a young adult, you want to care for people. The part of the natural inclination of humanity is to care for others, even though we're sinful. So I think understanding that you have the power to affect people and that God has given you such a love that you can give to others, but also realizing that's a responsibility that can obviously go bad very quickly.
Mm-hmm. And actually, that inclination to do good is a reflection of the image of God.
Amen.
It's not a reflection of the character of Satan, right? Mm-hmm. Not at all. Scott, when did you first realize, wow, this is like tremendous amount of, what would you say? It's both a blessing and a responsibility mm-hmm. to be able to make a choice that could impact mm-hmm. my eternal destiny.
And I think for me, it's happened on two different levels, because on the one hand, even as a very small child, you know, you're taught to obey your parents, to do the good thing, don't do the bad thing. And that's ingrained in you from a young age. But there came a point in my life when I was a teenager when I realized that the real choice I had to make was not between doing the good things and avoiding the bad things, but choosing to follow Jesus versus Amen. Not Ooh. Choosing to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, I don't have the strength on my own Ooh. Power to choose right. I need Jesus, mm-hmm. and that's the when I realized that that was the choice I needed to be making. It was life changing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I thought it flashed into my mind. It would come to Gladys and then Jeffrey. What flashed into my mind was Peter sinking in the stormy Sea mm-hmm. of Galilee, and he just says, "Lord, save me!"
Yeah.
Right. Where is the sign-up sheet for swimming lessons was not what he said.
Right.
You realize that your choice was not to try to somehow save yourself by your good choices.
Absolutely.
But to choose Jesus as your Savior. Mm-hmm. Gladys, you know, you've shared some amazing testimonies here. When did you first realize, wow, my power to choose is so important, it can affect my eternal destiny?
I was in high school, and a Bible teacher recognized that I had a need for influencing people. And one day, I influenced my class to do something really bad.
Gladys did?
Oh. Yes, and I remember he could have embarrassed me. He could have humiliated me, but he pulled me aside. And just remember and bring tears to my eyes, because I remember the conviction in his voice when he said, God made you a leader. Mm-hmm. You have an immense power in your hand to influence your class. That half of them were not Christian. It was a Christian school, but half of them were not Christian. Mm-hmm. He said, you have an immense power to influence your classmates for God. Mm-hmm. It is up to you to choose how you're gonna influence your class. He didn't point at what I said before. And he said to me, do you know God's grace? Mm. I'm extending that to you today. Mm. But I want you to make that choice for Christ.
Mm-hmm. Is he still living? Do you know?
I don't know.
I hope he's watching Hope Sabbath School today. And may use my favorite Hebrew word.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Because that tied in very much with what Leah shared. About the power to influence. I have choices that don't just impact me.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Jeffrey.
Yes. And, you know, again, I was also in high school searching the scriptures, and John 15:15 really spoke out to me that it's not just doing the right things, it's knowing and becoming his friend. Do you mind if I read John?
Sure, 15? Sure. Go ahead and read it for us. You're reading the words of Jesus.
Yes.
In John 15 and verse 15?
Yes.
And what translation do you have?
This is the New King James Version.
All right.
Version.
And this was kind of a breakthrough for you.
Yes.
In terms of your choice.
This awestruck me. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. So he's giving the evidence. He's laying it out. It's not just do what I say. It's, no, we're going to have a relationship that is fully healing and fully loving and perfect.
Mm-hmm. And that's a choice that you made.
That's a choice I made.
Yeah. Praise God.
Yes.
Praise
Amen.
God. Thank we're going to look at two more texts. Puya, could you take us to Matthew chapter 1? And then we're going to look at John 1, because there is hope on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. There's hope in the cosmic conflict between good and evil. Mm-hmm. And that hope is not some secret mantra or some special potion. That hope is a person. Mm-hmm. Let's hear what it says in Matthew 1:20-23.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Mm-hmm.
So deliverance comes.
Mm-hmm.
God with us. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus comes to be baptized, Brittany, could you read? You probably have memorized it, but John 1, verse 29. When Jesus comes to be baptized, the Holy Spirit has given revelation to John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. And what is he? This is a prophet too, right? Mm-hmm. He shouts out something recorded in John 1, 29.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. John 1 and verse 29 says, The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Mm-hmm. How many of us need a Savior?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
All of sin, Scripture says, and the wages of sin is
death. Yeah.
And Satan laughs because he's a murderer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he's angry. Mm-hmm. And he's making war. Mm-hmm. But God comes down in the person of his Son to bring salvation and hope. And Puya, is that good news?
Amen.
Wonderful news. I just wanted to add one final comment here, that the hope is that the war, this conflict, is going to end. There will be an end because of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Mm.
And so the opportunity we have, my friends, in this cosmic conflict is to choose the deliverer. His name is Jesus. God came into humanity, Emmanuel, God with us, to choose him, and like Peter sinking in the Sea of Galilee, if you remember the story, cry out, Lord, save me. Mm-hmm. Because we've learned in our study today that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Say, God, I'm sorry for that rebellious spirit. I want to accept the salvation that only you can offer. I want to accept your forgiveness and your cleansing and your protection in this great battle. Is that your desire today? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we've studied a profound truth about this cosmic conflict starting in heaven, coming to planet Earth. But I want to thank you that there is hope through Jesus, the deliverer. Mm-hmm. And as we study this series, may we press closer to Jesus, our Savior, than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. We're just starting this amazing series on the cosmic conflict. Friend, you can have peace and security and hope as you press close to Jesus. Remember that truth and go out and be a blessing to those around you.